reading to you from Matthew, the 18th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And my stars in the morning, I've been enjoying. Oh, friends, if you just try to witness once, it's one of the nicest things that you can do. You don't have to preach a sermon. You just tell them what the Lord did for you, that you were lost, and you found Christ, and now you're on the way to heaven. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Genesis, the 1st chapter, and with the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We've labeled this, what's wrong with everybody? Well, the first question I'm going to present to you tonight, what is man? This is one of life's most basic questions. Is man the product of millions of years of evolution? Is man a special creation of God? Okay, then what's wrong with everybody? The philosophers question, the psychologists question, and the criminologists question. Well, friends, let me tell you what. I've been going to prison for years, and I'm telling you, I've heard every story given under heaven why men don't want to go to heaven. Many, many, many people believe that they're too bad a sinner, and then some people don't even believe they're sinners. Well, if you read Romans 3:23, it says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have, I have. Well, a man was created in the image of God. Let's read that again. And God said, let us make man in our image. Did you say he said us? There's three, you know, one. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Well, that's good. I'm glad that, because you people who fish, I used to fish, but I'm too old now. And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So, it's established God created man in his own image. Well, the Bible tells us that God created us from the dust. 2:7 it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just a moment, I'm just going to have a little drink of orange juice here. My, was that good. See, God made that too. Aren't you glad? You know, people said, I'm a vegetarian. Well, go ahead and be a vegetarian. I'm not knocking you. But personally, myself, if you want to know the truth, a little meat don't hurt you. Why, Jesus himself put the fish on the fire for the fishermen. And, you know, I know people say, I can't eat meat. Well, if you want to be a law keeper, go ahead. But you will not be justified by the law, and you ain't going to get there because of the law. Now, we're the crowning work of God's creation to have dominion over the earth. Let's go over that again. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea. Well, listen. What is meant by the image of God? Well, like God, Adam had intellect, emotion, and will. These are the requirements of personhood. Now listen, Adam and Eve were also without sin. Can you believe that? They sure didn't have any sin. Man, I just can't envision the beauty of the Garden of Eden. My stars, it must have been such a beautiful place. Beautiful trees, beautiful animals, everything. They had everything going for them. Well, something went wrong. God placed Adam and Eve in a perfect environment. Now, the Bible said that Adam fell through sin, marring that image. That's what the book says. And we read in, excuse me, I'm having a hard time with my voice. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Oh, my friends, there was only one forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, not a dozen, not 100, just one. Oh, how gracious and giving God has been. Now, Adam and Eve chose to disobey their Lord. And friends, listen to me. I'm telling you, the devil is out there every day trying to get you and I to doubt God or to doubt his unerring word. And when we do that, we're going to get in a heap of trouble. I'll guarantee you, we will get in a heap of trouble. There's many churches that tell you there's several ways into heaven, but there isn't. Oh, straight is a gate that leadeth into life. Straight is a gate that leadeth into destruction, but the road to heaven's narrow. My, and rocky, and it's tough. Hey, is it easy to be a Christian? I would say no. Absolutely not. But boy, howdy, it's sure better being lost in sin and on the road to hell. Well, we are all sinners and act like it. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And then in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, experience teaches us that we are sinners. Newspaper headlines announce that we're sinners. And you know what, friends? Crime's deadly march screams that we're sinners. The past 40 years, I've been preaching in prison. And I want you to know, beloved, there's some rough and tough men and women in those places. Now, this one prison that we used to preach in, and Lyman, they have over 400 and some lifers in there. No, they will never get out of that prison, only in a casket. So if they kill you, what do they got to lose? They don't care, and a lot of people have been killed in that prison. But you know, I've never honestly, I don't know why, maybe I'm crazy, but I've never been frightened when I went in and preached at those big places. Never. Never, never, never. Why? Because I'm doing what God called me to do. And oh, my friends, I've seen thousands, yes, men and women over these years come to know Christ. And I know what he did for me. And so I can share that with them. I tell them, hey, listen to me. I've been there. I've done it. And I found out I was on the wrong road. So now I took a different look. I took the upward look. Now, this preacher, he didn't tell me, Cecil, I want you to come to join my church. He didn't mention giving money. He didn't mention being baptized. Although, listen, that's been a sore subject to many people. Because I want you to know, beloved, a lot of people really believe that water will get them into heaven by being baptized. Well, if baptism will save you, then why did Jesus get baptized? He did it to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus wasn't lost. He was the Son of God. But a lot of people say, oh, no, I got to get in water. How many times I remember marrying a couple one time, and this lady come up to the mother of the groom, come up to me and said, you know, I want to get my two little girls baptized. I said, what for? Well, she said, so they can go to heaven. I said, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. That don't do a thing for them. Only the blood of Jesus could wash away sins. Water won't do it. Well, listen, human efforts to remedy this situation always fail. Education and legislations fail. Persecutions and punishments fail. Through grace, the second Adam restores the image. And here's what it said. Adam's disobedience plunged us all into sin. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that of all men have sinned. Well, now, Christ's obedience makes salvation available to all. And I read in Romans 5:18-19, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, listen to me. It was Christ obedient that gives you and I salvation. Oh, friends, you say, well, Cecil, I'm going to work my way into heaven. Oh, beloved, listen to me. You won't. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. See, if I could go to heaven and say, well, Lord, I'm here. Well, how'd you get here? Well, I worked. I paid my way at the gate, and I worked it. And a lot of people honestly believe that they can work their way in, or they can buy their way in. See, oh, that's why you Christians tithe. You're trying to buy your way in. No, that's not the reason I tithe. I tithe because it's of God's will. Old Testament, New Testament. Can't outgive God, but you know, friends, God doesn't need your money. I want to get that straight. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. That's a test of your heart to see where you really are, where your heart is, where your treasures are. That's where your heart is. That's right. Oh, friends, listen. One of the greatest things about Christianity, beside being going to heaven, is that the Lord wants us to be a giving people. I know you say, Cecil, you're always saying it. He does. He wants you to help people less fortunate. You say, boy, you don't know how poor I am. Well, I'll tell you right now, I've learned something. When I was going to Bible college, we were so broke we couldn't pay attention. But we helped families with what we had. We shared with them. Do you remember when back there in the book of Acts, when those Jews got saved, they threw them out of their house, held a funeral for them, and the other Christians sold their ground and gave to those Christians because they were suffering. Boy, I tell you, I think that's pretty neat, don't you? Oh, I do. Well, Christ's death redeems us. And you know what else? Excuse me. His resurrection guarantees that he lives to keep us. Oh, my stars in the morning. If he had not come forth out of that tomb, dear friends, you and I wouldn't have a thing to talk about. He conquered death and hell. And they thought, my, we've got to stop this crazy ranting man running around telling people he's raising them from the dead and make the blind see it. He was doing all this. Well, we'll put him on a cross, first of all, give him a kangaroo court. And then we're going to put him on the cross. Then we're going to bury him. And we're going to put him in a tomb and put a great big huge stone in front of that tomb. And we're going to put guards on, and nobody will ever bother him again. Oh, you got a surprise, my dear friends. It didn't do it. 3 days, that stone was rolled away by an angel of the Lord, and Jesus come forth from the grave. Oh, my. What good news do we have there? Listen. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Now, let me tell you this. The purpose of God in creation is realized in salvation. Now, listen. We have fellowship with God through faith in Christ. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Why did the Lord create us in the first place? He created us because God wanted a family. And you know what? Every evening he would appear in the Garden of Eden and fellowship with Adam and Eve. But after Eve and Adam ate that fruit, they could see they become sinners. Oh my, yes, terrible sinners. So what do? They hid from God. Friend, you can hide all you want, but God knows where you're at. You can hide under your chair. You can hide under the bed. You can have mountains fall on you, but God can see you. Right now, you know what he's doing. He's standing right now with outstretched arms, and he's saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he said. Living in fellowship with God brings real joy, 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that you may have joy, and it may be full. Hey, listen. Christ is the answer for what's wrong with everybody tonight. Now, you say, well, Cecil, I don't know. I have some questions. Well, get on the phone and call me. 303-471-8534. You said, do you know all the answers? Shoot, no, I don't. Nor does any theologian, nor does any man on this earth know all there is in this book. But I know enough to know that if you'll turn from your sins and come to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior, that he'll make of you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. Want to be a new man in Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, if you want to, here's what you got to do. First of all, you need to confess that you're a sinner. Then you need to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God that came in the world to die for sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost tonight, he's seeking you. He's standing with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, son, daughter, whoever. If you have a tugging at your heart tonight, beloved, bow your head to me right now. But I ask you, please don't pray this unless you mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. And Father, I pray that you'll come into my heart and be my Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to have you get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Only concern where you spend eternity. If you have some questions, give me a call. 303-471-8534. Oh, beloved, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. God bless you. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening. And oh, I pray something that was said will get you thinking. And if you're cold and indifferent, you're a born-again believer, but you're cold, come back to the Lord and confess it to him. Tell him you're sorry, and he'll restore you the joy. Not your salvation. You don't lose your salvation. But boy, how do you lose your joy? And you won't enjoy Christianity, and you should enjoy Christianity. It's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in my life 55 years ago. Well, friends, till this time next Sunday night, I want you to pray for me and my wife. Pray for our health, and pray God will give us souls for our hire. So, until this time next Sunday, be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.